right. It is time for another episode of the Cultural Hall, and this week's episode is brought to you by the CO2 Cafe, where we are recording this very episode right now.
Homemade soda.
Among other things, right?
Right.
Comfort foods to the nth degree. Mm-hmm. It's in downtown Salt Lake, 323 Main Street, and it's our good friends Nikki Nichols, which is an awesome name
that
to say.
That is an awesome name.
And Mike Worthland. You can check him out online, c-o-2cafe.com, and we're going to try out some of their beverages today, and that should be delicious.
I'm excited.
They've got classic food, unique fresh-made sodas.
Sodas.
So, for those of you that listen to the Cultural Hall, anywhere along the Wasatch Front, 323 South Main Street in Salt Lake. Later on, coming up here in just a minute, in the second and third block, Lincoln Hoppe.
Ooh.
Do you know who that is?
No.
Did you ever see the singles ward? You know the nerdy guy in the singles ward?
Yes.
The first one?
Yes.
That guy?
Yes.
He's also in the Saints and Soldiers Airborne Creed.
Ooh,
that just came
cool.
out a couple weeks
yes,
ago.
I've seen the billboards.
He plays a German Nazi.
Oh, no.
So kind of a villain in that movie.
So a very
villain.
Different role for him.
Yeah, perhaps.
Right? From a geek to a villain?
Yeah. He's a very talented actor.
How exciting.
Roots here in Utah, lives in L.A. with his five kids and is a working actor and
five
and
kids.
Mormon.
Does
and
his wife
it.
Work to support the five children?
I don't have any idea.
Wow.
I can't remember if I asked him that. I don't think that she does. I got the impression she was a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah, with five. It would probably actually be more beneficial.
I would think it would be a considerable amount of work to be the stay-at-home
yes.
mom of a five kid. So for this week's kind of intro, I like to call this the opening exercises.
Ooh.
I have a few announcements I'd like
Ooh.
To read.
Oh, great.
Got an email. It says, Richie T, I enjoyed the podcast about your life. He says, I appreciate your honesty and overall dedication to the church and the gospel, despite the challenges that you've had in your life. I recently discovered the Cultural Hall podcast and have enjoyed every episode.
Thank you very much.
The Cultural Hall episodes have enlightened, entertained, uplifted, and humored me. I'm a lifelong member of the church living in Texas. That's from Matt.
Thank you, Matt.
Another little announcement here.
Okay.
I like this one quite a bit. Brother R. Todd Stedman.
Is he related to you?
No.
No.
No, that's how he addresses the letter, which is funny because
okay.
Thomas is my middle name, not
oh.
Todd.
Oh, correct. Okay. General authority. Funniness. Got
my
it.
My apostolic name.
Got it. Sorry, a little
he
slow.
He says, thank you for opening up so much on your The Cultural Hall podcast. I just wanted to let you know how interesting it was. I am a current LDS bishop and have been through various disciplinary courts.
Wow.
He says, I was fascinated at the outcome of your desecration. I'm glad that you found good things from that experience. I have had many experiences dealing with ward members and all the stuff that goes with that. And the toughest thing that I have to do is deal with discipline.
Sure.
Bishops have the choice of offering positive or negative discipline. And I favor the positive discipline. Anyway, I think now I am boring you, he says. I just wanted to say I really respect you and the life that you are leading. I feel like I'm having a new awakening listening to your podcast,
Woohoo!
He says. It is amazing how much is available to Latter-day Saints today, and it can be confusing where to look for good information. I have actually recommended members to use your podcast to explore their own education around LDS contradictions, which I think is both a good thank you very much for doing that, and also
kind
please
of scary.
Don't anyone, you know.
Right.
He says, this letter is not sounding as good as it was in my head, but I just wanted to thank you and your, quote, crew for such a great resource.
Wow.
And then he goes on to say, hey, you know, I've met you before. Lastly, I know you like to share things on the radio and podcast. So he says, you're free to share this. Just make it anonymous. So I think I did. I don't think I said his name. So thank you, Bishop Convert,
awesome.
For sharing that email.
No, that's great.
Another email? Shall I?
Yes, you shall.
I want to find this one because there was, here we go. This one maybe not as positive.
It's a long one.
Podcast review is Uh-oh. What this one is titled. This is from Alex.
Okay.
Hey, people. I really enjoy your podcast. Hey, look who it is. It's Brother Kyle.
Brother Kyle.
Am I here now?
Yeah, you can be
Kay.
Here now.
All right.
He says, hey, people, I really enjoy your podcast. Good topics and good humor. I discovered you a month ago and listening to older episodes to become a convert lifer. So, just a lifer. If you've listened to every episode of the Cultural Hall, it makes you a lifer. If you haven't, you're a convert. He says, in response to one of your previous episodes, I wanted to mention that I'm a native Washingtonian, but live in Texas, a proud non-Utard. he calls it.
U-tard.
U-tard.
It's not very nice.
No, it's not. He says, I have one suggestion, though. I love listening to everything, but the first and last 30 seconds of your show.
Uh-oh.
He says, I actually fast forward to avoid it. Your intro and outro music drives me nuts.
I love our intro outro music.
Yes, so do I.
He says, first off, the intro, is that ska? Really? That was cool for like 1 month in the 1990s. It just doesn't fit unless you start adding...
No wonder we like it.
Yeah.
It's 1990.
Unless you start adding laugh tracks throughout your show, please don't.
Right.
I can tell your podcast is well done with lots of thought put into it, but come on, a little more class at the beginning, please.
Wow. Could he send us maybe an example of what he would like? And right?
Good call. That's what I was going to ask him for. Kay. If you want to give us a song to open it with, that's fine. But the Solutions is who that is that opens up the show.
Yeah.
And it's Book of Mormon Stories. That's the name of their song. Mormon band, The Solutions. I followed him in college down in Cedar City. Then he says, now the end.
Okay.
Talking about the end of the podcast. I love your trademark lines that you all say, which is, you know, we hope that this podcast nourishes and strengthens your body, all that stuff.
Correct.
He said, but then he said, then he had some dude... That some dude being
me?
Peter Breinholt.
Oh.
Who's never played guitar before.
Oh, no.
Peter Breinholt has played the guitar before plenty of times.
A few.
Alex. Taught him the power chords and then assigned him to make an end of the show jingle. He's just the one that says, I can't even sing it for you. On the Cultural Hall show, it's just a simple thing. We asked him on the spot in episode 6 with Peter Breinholt, hey, can you make up an outro for us? And he went, sure. And that was what he came up with. And that's what we play the end of the song. He says, I think you need to release your music director and call them to the nursery.
Wow. Obviously, Alex has some musical capabilities, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So let's invite him to submit some pieces
for
consideration.
Alex. That's it. We're inviting you. He says, that being said, great job. Keep it up.
Thank you.
And I'm very grateful to see positive and successful podcasts like this on iTunes.
Are we positive and successful?
One of two ain't bad.
Okay. Do the laugh track right there.
There's a cue laugh track.
Cue laugh track.
This is another email. I just had a bunch. We're catching up.
Yeah.
This one is from Matt. Says
another Matt.
Yeah. Says I enjoyed the podcast on Mormon myths. I just wanted to share two myths that I heard on my mission.
Okay.
One. The first myth was that the RLDS also sent their young men on missions, the Reorganized Latter-day Saint Church.
Yes.
They dressed just like the Mormon missionaries, except their name tags were red, not black.
Huh.
I only heard about them, but I never saw them. And the second one? The second is that missionaries were not allowed to proselyte to those of the Jewish faith. If they wanted to learn about the gospel, they needed special permission to be taught by the missionaries and baptized. Also, of course, a Mormon myth.
Are you sure?
What?
Are you sure? Okay, I didn't catch it. Do RLDS have missionaries?
I don't know. That was
I don't know either.
They go out with red name tags.
We never figured it out. Okay.
Maybe we'll. I know we're going to do a Mormon myth episode again in the future with the folks from HolyFetch.com. That's the name of the
good,
website that does the Mormon myth. So we'll ask him at that point. Help me not remember.
Okay.
Okay.
Great idea.
And then finally, this is a follow-up to an email I read a couple weeks ago where Tyson was giving me a little bit of a hard time. He says, hey, y'all.
Is he from Texas, too?
No, he's from Mesquite.
Oh, all right.
He says, hey, y'all. It's south. Mesquite is south
of here.
It's down Dixie.
Yeah, down Dixie way. Says, I didn't mean to hurt your feelings, Richie, when I said that I didn't like the podcast just because I know you. It was kind of a joke, because in your early days, I told you that I directly liked the podcast, and you just assumed it was because I knew you.
Mm.
Anyway, listening to you guys during the last article's news, one thing really caught my attention. When Brother Kyle called you a leprechaun train driver...
Oh, I remember that. Oops.
We listeners would never have had that great mental image if he hadn't said that. So I think you guys should figure out how to video your podcast and post it online so we can listen online and watch.
All right.
He says, I don't know how you'd accomplish this. But I know a lot of the big-time radio shows do it. And let's be honest, you guys are already pretty much big-time. Tyson.
Oh, wow.
Thanks, Tyson.
I'm all for that, videotaping everybody else.
Yeah.
Except
but not
me.
You.
No.
We could maybe do like little clips just on our phones.
I think we'll do a little video here today.
Yeah.
At the CO2 Cafe.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
We could do it. You guys doing all right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah,
doing
things
good.
All right?
I'm a little flustered because I don't know where we are.
This is the CO2 Cafe.
Yeah. Well, I walked in late, everybody.
323 Main Street.
Yeah.
Downtown Salt Lake. Right next to the Shogun.
Yeah.
You know what this place is?
What?
It's owned by Nikki Nichols and Mike Worthlin, which I'm interested to find out if it's related to Joseph B. Worthlin.
Oh.
Because it's spelled the same way. And he's and this guy's Mormon, so I bet
ooh,
it is.
Maybe.
But, yeah.
Fresh made sodas.
Oh, yeah. It's right by Crossroads Mall.
Formally. Isn't that? Yeah. No, isn't that, as Crossroads.
Where are we? Creek?
Crossroads. Yeah. The Crossroads ECMI Center.
Yeah.
Where it's back 10 years ago.
It's across the street. What?
Is that ska music I hear? no, they do handmade sodas here. Fresh fruit. And so you don't have to just go with the, I'll have a Coke. That's why it's the CO2 cafe. Because yeah. That's the chemical property that you have in your carbonated drinks.
Right.
Uh-huh. And then they do kind of fancy food. Like one of the things I'm looking at the menu now right behind you, fry bread tacos, like a Navajo taco.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But they don't do like your iceberg lettuce and the cheap stuff in it.
Uh-huh.
They do the good quality lettuce and, you know.
And she said like grilled chicken and all sorts of fancy schmancy stuff.
Cool.
Wow. We should try it when it's open.
No, it's going to be open, and we're going to try it.
I know, but when? I mean, we're here now, but it's not open.
We are going to try it.
Okay.
Can you not smell the food cooking?
Yes, I can. It's driving me nuts.
I know. I want it.
C-O-2cafe.com, or just, you know, go in and tell them that you heard about it on the Cultural Hall. That would help us out a lot. They are sponsors here of the podcast, and we don't ask very much of you. So folks that are coming to town, maybe you're going to head over to the Temple Square. This is a great place to eat lunch.
Yeah.
Before or after a session, why not?
Take the train on down. Take tracks. Jump on.
Yeah, or you could. It's not that far. You could walk here from the Temple Square, right?
Three blocks? Four
yeah,
blocks?
Yeah, half a mile.
Okay. Oh, not
would
even
you
that.
Walk,
yeah, it's close by.
Would you walk half a mile?
Oh, yeah.
For this place, you would.
I would walk and walk and walk.
And walk.
I would, because I like places like this. The little, you know, somebody around here owns it, making the food.
It's not old brother Jimmy John.
No.
It's not his place.
Brother Appleby?
Yeah,
nope.
Brother Appleby. So if you live in the Salt Lake area or visiting the Salt Lake area, come and check it out. We would appreciate it. Coming up in the second and third block, we're visiting with Lincoln Hoppe. That's right. You know him. Mormon actor. Or, I don't know.
I don't know.
I was trying to make it sound something.
Vampire Hunter?
Or Vampire Hunter. Lincoln Hoppe, Vampire Hunter. Perfect. That's coming back in the second and third block of the Cultural Hall.
Sidewinder Media was named as one of Utah's top photographers by In This Week magazine and is a winner of several awards for fine art, portrait, and event photography. Sidewinder Media has been professionally photographing everything from wildlife to headshots for over 10 years. Sidewinder Media has the experience and the knowledge to capture your special occasion or portrait the way you want it. They also film and edit music or product videos and do simple ads for Facebook or websites. Email them at sidewindermedia@gmail.com or call Rusty at 801-941-5500 5576 to book your shoot today.
That's right. It's time for the second block here of the Cultural Hall, and joining me via telephone, I don't even know where he's at, though I can assume it's probably California. Am I right?
Yes, I am. Los Angeles, California.
It's Lincoln Hoppe. And before we started this interview, I already embarrassed myself by being like, is it Hoppy? No. Nope, that's not what it is. It's Hoppe.
You know, nobody really knows, including me. I go by Hope, Hoppy, Hope, Hop Hop, Bunny Hoppe, all of these.
Well, because it's H-O-P-P-E, so you don't automatically go to Hoppe.
Right, exactly. It is a German last name, so it's technically pronounced more like Hoppe, but who can say that,
yeah.
Right?
What did your wife take your last name?
Yes.
Okay. And what does she...
She can't pronounce it right either. She says Hoppe, and that's just the Americanized version, so...
Well, cool. I'm really glad we were able to get you in here. We'll talk about Saints and Soldiers Airborne Creed. That's kind of your latest project that I'm sure you want to talk a lot about. But we've had some other folks here in the Cultural Hall that you might have, you know, some sort of association with. Let me list off a couple of them. Darren Tufts.
Yes, Darren.
And Kirby Hayborn, one of our first episodes here of the Cultural Hall.
I know that guy.
Hey, I know him. and as we visited with Ryan Little and Adam Abel, the makers of the film Saints and Soldiers Airborne Creed, and other films too, Forever Strong and all that stuff, we kind of talked to them a little bit about how come all of Mormon films have the same 12 actors. So before we get into the rest of this, answer that question.
I think they answered it pretty well in that, you know, it's a budgetary constraints and geographical proximity play a large part of that.
Wait. Hold on. So do you mean to tell me that you've listened to the Cultural Hall before?
Yes, I have.
Of
course.
Where is Lincoln? Where is Lincoln? Who's this pulling my leg on the other side of this phone?
It's true. Yeah. So I think that's a big part of it. I moved to Los Angeles about 9 years ago from Utah, and every now and then I still pop back in and do some films. But a lot of the films just either I'm out of circulation there because I can't go to the auditions,
uh-huh.
or they just don't have the money to fly people in. So a lot of the local actors get used a lot, and the best ones just the best known ones so far just keep working because they're fantastic and they're great.
Do you have a favorite?
Yes, myself.
I love working with myself. I'm really easy to work with. I'm punctual
really?
On set. I know what
our
I'm
opinions are the same. Yeah.
No, you really, you don't, I know you probably don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, obviously, and that's maybe why you don't answer, but could you answer, do you have a couple people that you go, oh, I know so-and-so's associated with that film, so I'll do it?
Well, I will say this, absolutely, three of my favorite actors just coincidentally happened to work with me on Saints and Soldiers Airborne Creed.
Now, I wasn't in it, so it's got to be somebody else.
Exactly.
Okay.
You're the fourth.
Oh, okay, good.
But number one, just I'm listing you fourth.
Okay.
So, of course, Corbin Allred, Jason Wade, and Dave Nibley are just fantastic, fantastic actors. And I work with Corbin all the time. Him and I are in an improv comedy troupe called The Society. And we travel and we tour and... you know, we do shows there in Utah as well as in Idaho and across the country. And so I've always, always just loved working with Corbin. Such a funny man. Of course, Airborne Creed isn't as much a comedy, but you can just see his charm and his wit through it at the same time. But he's just been so fun to work with all the time. And, you know, Jason and Dave, I've been, you know, watching their films over the past, and just fantastic work. And it's just been really fun to work with them. And of course, I didn't work as directly with Jason. We didn't have any scenes together, you know, Jason and Dave and I. But we still got to overlap on set, and so that was really, really a fun experience. And they're just great guys, you know. This is kind of some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that you wouldn't know from just watching a film, that these are really good people, you know, fun to be around, and not these Hollywood diva types that sometimes we see, which would be more like me,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, I'm from Los Angeles. He made sure and got that out real quick at the start of the interview. I heard it.
Exactly.
So, you know, something I realized that I've never asked any of the folks that we've listed off. We've had other people here that do films and stuff in the Cultural Hall. But is there ever like a sense of the spirit or like religious stuff on set? Is there that in Saints and Soldiers? It's not a religious film, but is there like, hopefully I'm making sense of myself.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's completely true. When Corbin and I shot scenes together, it was kind of really under adverse circumstances because we had started on set that morning at 8 a.m. and we had gotten off the previous night pretty late. So we hadn't had much sleep and we were both on set at 8 a.m. and we didn't get to this big, long, challenging scene until 1:15 a.m. the following morning. So we've been there on set working all day, and most of this is all outside in the sun.
Uh-huh.
And so we were just exhausted, and half the crew had left.
They're like, we're out of here. We're so tired. I'm lighting. It's nighttime. Goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. And then it was like, all right, well, let's turn on the camera and shoot this big, awesome scene. And... just for how tired we were, and all the crazy things that had happened that day, it, just like you said, I felt like the spirit was there, and just not only in the things that we were saying and acting, but there was something else with us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a great experience for me, especially because, you know, and I certainly asked for that because I was worried that it was such a big scene and I was so tired and we didn't have time to do many takes. I think we did one or two takes maximum of this big long scene, and we got it.
To give people kind of an idea, because I'm sure there's maybe one or two people listening that hasn't seen Saints and Soldiers Airborne Creed, give a little background on the scene. Obviously, you don't have to, you know, ruin it for anyone, but so that they understand kind of the complexity of it.
Right. Well, I play Erich Neumann, who is a German soldier, a lieutenant in the German army.
A Nazi?
Technically not.
Teach me. Why not?
Nazi was a social or a political party.
Okay.
And only ever, I believe the highest estimates are that only 1-2% of all of the German army and other branches of military service were Nazis.
Mm.
But the problem was that a lot of these Nazis were put in leadership positions. So you can see kind of the Nazi influence was overreaching. You know, they had Nazis in key positions, of course. But most of the German soldiers were just conscripted into service and were just there to fight because they had to, or else they'd be killed.
Yeah.
So we made a choice that this particular character that I was playing was not a Nazi, but was in a position of leadership. And so he did do some things that he would not have done otherwise if he had not been, you know, in the military. And that's part of one of the things that he has to wrestle with throughout this film is these things that he's done that are not quite sitting well with him. So, and then Corbin, of course, is a paratrooper, an American paratrooper. And we have a little run-in, and we have this scene that kind of gets some of the things out in the open. It's a very interesting scene.
Powerful, and, too. I think powerful is what came to my mind. If I can be that cliche and be like, you know, that scene was really powerful. But it was.
Right. You say powerful, not powderful, right?
Yeah, powerful.
There wasn't too much powder in the scene.
No.
It's very powderful.
Yeah, the powder used, it's like black powder, like gunpowder. It's that scene
exactly.
Is explosive. It was so powerful.
Well, that was well said.
See how well I said. Justified my mistake? So I don't feel like I did a very good job, maybe, of introducing you to people who might be listening to this, especially if they haven't seen Saints and Soldiers Airborne Creed. So tell us about some other stuff that we'd go, oh, yeah, Lincoln, Hoppa.
Of course. Well, I first, one of the first things that a lot of people would know me from is the singles ward. I have a part in that. I played the character of DeVerl.
Who is?
Kind of the lovesick loser who keeps going and trying to unsuccessfully pick up all these women throughout the film. And I really am that nerdy in person.
I've heard.
All the coolness in my other films is makeup and acting lessons. So I was in that, and then, of course, those other movies that Hailstorm did, the RM, I was also in. I started off actually in a group called the Garen's Comedy Troupe, which was a sketch and improv comedy troupe at BYU, which it's really funny because I still, as I travel across the country for different things, I run into people and say, hey, you were in the Garen's.
Really?
They were at BYU when I was there doing that, and so that's always fun.
Now, is the Garen's similar to, there's a, Second City is what's coming to my mind, but that's not what it's called, Divine Comedy. Is that
right.
What has evolved into Divine Comedy, or is it different groups down at BYU?
No, Divine Comedy actually started a little bit after us, but pretty close to us, within a few years of when we started. And we basically stopped doing shows in about 2000.
Okay.
And they kept on going. And they've got some amazingly talented people in that group. And that's pretty fantastic. So I'm glad that there's something still there going. And now I'm in a group called the Society Comedy Troupe, which I perform with Kirby Hayborn and Corbin Allred as well, and a bunch of other just amazingly talented actors.
Are they all Mormons? Because I know Corbin and Kirby are both Mormons. Is the whole group of the Society
not.
Mormon folk?
No, they're not. We have several people who are in the group, and that's never been a factor in who's in the group or not, of course.
But it does mean you've got some work to do, though, Lincoln.
Of course, always. Always. So, and that group is called The Side, and then I also perform with a group called The Thrillionaires out here in Los Angeles that started out there in Utah. A fantastically talented group of people.
Let me ask you this. I know what you mean by comedy troupe, but I think that may be just kind of an assumption between you and I. Tell people what a comedy troupe is.
Comedy troupe is basically a group of actors who get together and do comedy. So in our case, they're both improvisational groups. So if you've ever seen Whose Line Is It Anyway, it's that type of thing where we get a suggestion from the audience and we make up comedy on the spot as a team as we go. Comedy Sports is another popular group that I've also performed with, both there in Provo, Salt Lake, and as well as here in Los Angeles. So there's a lot of comedy troupes across the country, and I guess the defining factor is that it's just a team of people entertaining the audience as opposed to a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
One-on-one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and you're able to do those things, the Society and the Thrillionaires, as a full-time job in addition to the acting roles that you do?
The comedy troupes are more of the part-time job, and the acting is more of the full-time job. But they're all interrelated, and we can get casting directors to come out and see our improv shows, and so that helps with the acting work. And we tour, and we do shows for hire with the Society, and so that helps, career-wise. So yeah, there's a lot of crossover, and it's related, and it's so fun. It's so fun to do. I mean, I might even, if I could make enough money doing just improv, I would possibly consider doing just that. Because it's just so fun, and you get to work with amazingly wonderful people, and that's quite a bit of the fun of it.
Now, this is a little nerdy for me, but I've always been curious on this. There was a group back in Utah a long time ago called the Skinny Lincolns, and I'm curious as to what your involvement with that group is.
That was a group that I was indeed affiliated with, and after we basically moved the Garens to Salt Lake. We changed the name to the Skinny Lincolns because I was not a skinny man, and they thought that was a funny idea. And I thought it was funny too. So that was I was the director of that group, and was in it as well. And that's where Kirby and I started doing improvisation together. And then when we both moved here, we're neighbors, little neighborina.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Same ward then and everything?
No, we're not that close.
Oh.
We live about 5 minutes apart, so we're actually in different stakes.
Really?
Yes, we are. Yeah, lots of members up here.
I was hoping, because in my mind I was really kind of hoping, as soon as you said that you were neighbors, I was like, how rad would it be if Kirby Hayborn and Lincoln Hoppe were your home teachers?
That would be just too funny.
It's just
never get anything. Yeah. Hey, you want to be in a little quick video for our home teaching lesson? Act in this video with us.
I love
it. I don't know. Have you watched any of our Kerblink videos?
I have, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Tell people where they can find them so you can check that out.
Yes. It's kerblink.com, and it's spelled K-E-R-B-L-I-N-K. And basically, Kirby and I started shooting shorts because we just love working together. And we started shooting some shorts, and we just post them up on the internet. So we've got some new ones coming pretty soon. I also have a Saints and Soldiers-esque one, a few actually, that we shot on set at Saints and Soldiers. And so I'm going to be posting those in the next little few weeks. Which should be fun.
Nice. I want to come back in the third block here of the Cultural Hall, and I want to talk a little bit about like how this all works with your family and with your faith. So we're going to come back and do that here in the third block of the Cultural Hall.
Sounds great.
Hey, it's me, Richie T. Want to take a second and tell you about my buddy Dylan over at Lennon Design. Go to LennonDesign.com to see some of the stuff that he's done. Or, you know what, better yet, go to theculturalhall.com and look at all the graphic stuff that we have there at that website. You know who's done that? Dylan at Lennon Design. He's offering a special deal for people in the Cultural Hall, a 10% discount. You know why it's 10%, right? And all you have to do is just give him a call, 801-699-3022. Any sort of graphic artwork or website design that you might need, give them a call. Think about Lennon Design. You know, they sponsor your favorite podcast.
You know, Lincoln, I got to tell you, thank you for being here in the Cultural Hall, and especially for putting up with me. I edited out of this whole thing what we talked about between the breaks there, but thank you for just not hanging up on me.
I could not hang up on you all day.
Oh, you got nothing going on, huh? No, so let's talk about that, because it's always fascinating to me, I think, to talk to actors, just in general, but especially, I think, LDS actors, where it's such a focus to have a family. And there's stereotypes, I think, within the church of what being a dad and being a father is. And when I look from the outside looking in at it, I look at you know, being an actor, either stage or film, I look at it and I go, how in the world do you get that to mix?
Yeah. Yeah, it's...
Are you able to get it to mix?
I don't know. It's so... Both are kind of so ingrained in me at this point that I don't necessarily see a separation. But there are times when it becomes clear that there are differences, or... it is difficult at times. But most of the time, it's not. That's, I guess, the way I feel about it.
But I mean, if you're willing to share a little bit more, I mean, what are the difficult times, and then how do you do? Because I feel like as an actor, you have to go with whatever comes, and the family has to be like, all right, you're an actor, we know that, so we'll take that back seat to whatever the opportunity is.
Right, well, let's clarify the question a little bit, because are you talking about, like, actorish stuff in my life or taking on certain types of roles?
I think all of it. Let's talk about all of it.
Great. Well, roles-wise, of course, there's an opportunity to choose or say no to a role or to accept it. And there are some where I'm just like, nope, I'm not doing that.
What is that? What content is it that you just go, nope?
Well, I don't know. It's more of a, I guess I don't have a firm definition of my line.
A firm foundation, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, there isn't, I don't have a paragraph that states, these are the types of roles I won't do. Because there are some times where part of the story necessitates someone, for example, being a villain.
Uh-huh.
And although I don't personally support villains, and I think villains are bad, often the story, the message of the story makes it so that someone needs to tell that part of the story as a committed villain. And so if the story makes it part of a greater good, I think that's one reason why I would consider playing a certain type of role, if that makes sense.
But as far as like things like, you know, would you be in a rated R film? That's something that people talk a lot about because, you know, oh, but, you know, Lincoln, I know he's a Mormon. He's in that rated R film, and some people draw the line at not seeing rated R films.
Well, here's an interesting part about that is you don't know what the film is rated until the Motion Picture Association rates it.
Yeah.
And that's well after the film is done. You know, there was an issue with the First Saints and Soldiers where there was the Motion Picture Association rated it R.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And then they learned some rules of like, oh, yeah, if a main character gets killed on screen, if a character that the people have identified with is killed on screen, it's going to be rated R because that's a little intense for the kids.
Sure.
I had never heard about this.
Hmm.
And so what they did is they went back and looked at some of the other angles, if I'm telling the story correctly. I think I am. And they pulled out some other angles where even though it wasn't terribly violent, they just cropped it a little bit out. And I was like, oh, okay, not rated R anymore.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the content. It was the emotional identification. So anyway, that's all just to say that you do a film, and when you're given a script, you read the script, and you realize that, oh, this is great, this is fantastic, and I'll do it. And then maybe the director has put in some other types of scenes that you weren't expecting, mm-hmm. or they want to interpret it in a kind of a more risque way, and so then it receives a different rating. This is long after you've signed contract and you've agreed to do the film. So there's really not much you can do. Can't say, take me out of that film once you've already signed the contract. And it's because it's an art. It's a director's vision. And the motion picture, the rating association is in place to protect children from seeing things that would be either disturbing or out of context for their age. And so it's a great thing, but the rating comes after the fact, and a lot of people don't realize that. It's easy to see when you're doing a movie with just where there's a lot of swearing on the page, or there's really graphic scenes. It's easy to say, oh, well, that's probably going to be rated R, but that's not always the case with films.
Sure,
there's a lot of rewrites through the process. So yeah. It's ridiculous to have issues with an actor who's been in an R-rated movie under some, because you don't know what it's rated until the movie's done. And the actor plays one little part.
What about things? So, yeah, because, I mean, in the episode that we talked about with Kirby Hayborn, we kind of talked about some of the heat that he got about being in that beer commercial. And,
uh-huh.
and you're familiar with it, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, yeah, certainly my take on it was like, all right, first of all, it's one thing if he's in a commercial that's selling beer, and it's another thing if he's like, hey, my name is Kirby Hayborn, and I'm going to drink this beer right now. Watch me drink this beer. Go buy beer.
Right. Right. Yeah, they're different things.
So I guess my question was more like if you're reading a script and it has, we call them here in the podcast, celestial swears, like if it has some of the biggins, do you go, I'm not comfortable saying that? Or do you go, one's okay, or got to keep this one away from the kids? Do you have some standards with that you automatically assume with the script?
The language is always a problem for me. But again, it goes back to the script, where if it's a wonderful, beautiful script with a great message that has a character that is playing the adversary or the antagonist, and it's really the most truthful way to tell that story with some of these celestial swears in there,
yeah.
Then I have to ask myself, is this worth it for me? And I have to kind of weigh it out. It does come down to it. And some scripts are easier to say no to, and then others are like, wow, but this is the message is so good, and you have to weigh things out a little bit, because like you said, it's not like we play characters, and if you watch any of the church videos, clearly there are the Book of Mormon characters doing horrible things to other people. They show them less graphically, but that doesn't really change the fact that you're watching a character kill a bunch of people.
Right.
And so it would be kind of silly to say, well, I won't take on a character that does bad things, because that's part of what storytelling is.
But I think that there would be some, and it's an interesting debate, because I think that there would be some that, as members of the church, would say, not for me. I'm not going to do that.
Sure. And that's their decision, and I think that's what it comes down to is you have to look at something, weigh it out, and say, is this right for me? Is this right for my beliefs and my faith? And if it's not, maybe there's something that can be changed. And if there isn't, maybe it's not right for me.
Let's talk about that for a minute. With your beliefs and your faith, Hollywood kind of gets this dark shroud of sin and debauchery and everything like that. Has it ever been a difficult thing for you to be a member of the church and do what you do?
No, it has not. Not in the least.
Never a time you doubted. Never a time you strayed away, saying, "I'm going to live this up a little," but knowing where you'd come back to.
No, just.
I love how you say that with such disdain. No, it hasn't. No.
Well, you know, it's true because I talk to people who are like, oh, wow, you're an actor, you know, in Hollywood. That's got to be hard. And I'm like, I have a job. I go to my job. It's like a job. So why? I don't understand why it would be worse. And it's true. Maybe I just haven't seen as much of that side. But for me, it's like I go to my audition. I do my job. I go home. I go home to my family every night. Unless, of course, I'm working out of state. Mm-hmm. But it's just a job. And I think I've kind of put myself into situations where I've been able to do what I want to do on my own terms. And maybe I would have more exposure, no pun intended,
yeah,
if I was willing to do other types of things. But that's not for me. So it really hasn't been a struggle.
How does your family react to you doing it? Is it like, oh, cool, Dad's in the movies? Or at this point, is it like, yeah, Dad, great, we have to go to this premiere? And how's the relationship with your wife with all that?
Oh, she's great. She's just so supportive and wonderful. And we've actually started working together where we divide up tasks and kind of divide and conquer to do some publicity here and there and to get in contact with other casting directors and that kind of thing. So, again, we've got five kids, so...
Holy cow.
We don't have all the time in the world to be focusing on the career. So there is a give and take that goes on for sure. And my kids love watching me in shows. You know, they just love it. When they saw Airborne Cree, they were telling all their friends, my dad's in a cool movie, and, you know... My dad could shoot your dad.
do any of them follow in your footsteps? Do the theatrical or, you know, acting thing?
Well, they've all said at one point they want us to do something, but they're all too smart. They're all like mathematicians and scientists, even though they're young kids. Their brains are very quick, so I think they'll probably get snatched up more academically. But they all have their artistic side. So I think only time will tell these things. One of my sons, Marty, he's in an upcoming short that we've done for Kerblink, and so he has a short part in that. So that should be fun to see. But again, he likes to draw. I think he likes that more. One of my other sons designs flash games.
Oh, cool!
And he's trying to get those, you know, developed into iPad apps.
How old is this kid?
I'm like, he's 13.
Jeez.
So I'm like, man, I have these genius kids, and I memorize lines, and I shoot guns.
Daddy's going to work to play today. You go yeah. ahead and develop those apps and a cure for cancer, and I'll be home at 10.
Exactly. I can't help but feel that way when they bring home their test scores. I'm like, oh my gosh, I could not have passed this test today. These kids are in school and they're just geniuses. It's pretty funny. And they're cute too, dang it.
Yeah, of course. Even if they're not, every parent thinks their kids are cute, right?
They are.
But the difference is they are. So let me ask you a little bit about, you served a mission, is that right?
Yes.
Where did you serve? In Portugal. How was it?
It was great. It was great. In fact, just in the last few, the last year, someone from Portugal moved into our ward, and it's just been the most exciting thing.
Someone that you taught?
No. Just someone. He was in the mission field at the same time as me.
Hmm.
And so now we play soccer together, ward soccer, every Saturday.
That's pretty awesome.
It is. It's really fun. And so we get to speak Portuguese now and then, but it just brings back so many memories, and it's just really fun. So,
do you have a favorite experience?
I did that once. Sorry, go ahead.
I say, do you have a favorite experience from your mission you'd be willing to share?
Oh, wow. You know, it's been so long. My memory fades very quickly. Let's see. Favorite. Oh, man. I can only think of the embarrassing things right now.
That's fine.
Oh, boy. One time we were, my companion and I, which is Elder Ken Craig, he actually writes a very popular blog, amazingly talented person. Him and I were in Azores Islands.
Wait, real quick. What's his blog called so people can check that out?
Let's see.
I'll post it with this episode if we can find it But
I was just looking at it again. My memory is awful. Let's see. Yeah, let me look it up in a little bit.
Okay, that's fine.
His name is Craig. I don't want to send people to the wrong site.
That never happens on the internet, though. Don't worry about that.
I know exactly. So we were on this. We were on the Azores together, and we had tots, and then they made popcorn, and they were. These little kids were throwing popcorn into our mouths. I don't know how that happened. They thought that was funny, and I was catching the popcorn in my mouth. And at one point, they threw one up high, so I stood up, and then threw another one, and I had to bend down, and I caught it. But as I bent down, the whole seam of my pants ripped out.
Yes.
Like from my belt all the way to my zipper, from the back of my belt to the zipper.
Wow.
And it was loud, and they all went, oh, and they thought I had made a little toot, or a large toot, because it was that kind of sound, and they just died laughing. Well, we had to walk home several miles up and downhill, and of course they were like dark pants, and so I had to keep my bag covered behind me to make sure that nobody could see,
your garments.
My buttock.
Yeah.
Exactly. So it was pretty crazy.
Oh my gosh!
But yeah, we Portugal is just a wonderful place with amazing people. It was pretty amazing too. The first night we were there, my first companion and I tracked it into. We opened a new area. First night in this new area, my first night in the country. We knocked on someone's door. And they let us in, and basically, long story short, we caught a discussion. And then over the course of the next year and a half, before I went home, they were baptized.
Oh, wow.
And it was just amazing. And they're just such wonderful people over there. And they're so excited to get a temple, too. And hopefully, as soon as that is dedicated, I'll get a chance to run back over there.
That'll be awesome for sure. Let me ask you this. What's your calling in your ward right now?
I am the Cub Master. Oh, yeah. Best calling on earth.
That's over all the Cub Scouts then, yeah?
That's right. Yeah.
That's a lot of power.
It is. I'm drunk with power. Lots of activities, rain gutter regattas and pinewood derbies and paper airplane throwing contests. I mean, it's right up my alley, just these things that are fun and don't require much thinking.
It's just right at your level. Perfect.
Exactly.
If you could pick a calling for yourself, what calling would you pick?
Oh, wow.
You can invent one, too, if there's something you're like, wouldn't it be cool if there was...
I would be the Kapellmeister General.
Which would do what?
Which would be the ward composer.
Oh, really?
I would compose all the music for the ward.
Are you pretty musically gifted?
I don't know if I'm gifted, but I'm musically inclined. I do a lot of music for the Kerblink shorts, and I do like to compose and write songs, so that would be really fun. I play the drums, the guitar, and the bass, and the keyboards. I'm a one-man band.
That's pretty rad. Then the last question that we ask everyone that comes into the Cultural Hall with us is, what is your favorite part of your faith?
Oh, wow. Tithing. I love paying my tithing.
Why?
I'm kind of kidding.
Oh, okay. No, okay, then what is your favorite part?
Well, I love paying my tithing, but I was trying to be funny. It just wasn't funny.
Well, the reason why I guess maybe I didn't take so much of a joke is that Ann Romney recently, President Romney's wife, and I say President Romney because he was a stake president, his wife recently talked about it, and that is her favorite part, and she talks about how it's such an amazing spiritual experience that she cries every time she pays her tithing. So...
Wow.
I apologize for not applauding you with the laughter with it.
No.
Because I was like, maybe it is.
There is some truth to it because, my wife and I were just talking about it recently. It's one of the easiest commandments to keep. It's just so cut and dried. It's just so easy to be 100% tithe there, in all seriousness, I would say just the concept of eternal families and being able to not only be with my family forever, but to to be able to share that with other people and let other people know that that's not only possible, but it's the plan. It's the plan that the Heavenly Father has laid out for us. And that's not just a bonus. That's what we're here for. And I just think that's wonderful and amazing.
Well, I appreciate you so much. Listen to me. Appreciate you so much. I appreciate you. I appreciate you so much for being here in the Cultural Hall with us. Is there anything that we should know about Lincoln Hoppe that we didn't get to? Something burning in your bosom that you want to share with everybody?
I love what I do, and I think it's important for people to follow their dreams. And you know, we all have to make money, and sometimes we need to have a day job, and that's no excuse for not waking up 15 minutes earlier and writing a little bit, or waking up 15 minutes earlier and doing a little research, or doing a little work on your heart's desire, you know, to take you closer to the fulfillment of your dreams. I really believe that.
Cool. Well, we hope that this podcast has nourished and strengthened your body, and that if you weren't healthy enough to listen to it this week, that you'll be able to listen next week. We also bless all of the crap out of the sugar, and in the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat, it's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.